This morning, would you turn with me to the Epistle to Hebrews, the 10th chapter? The 10th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 23. Just a few verses for our meditation this morning. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, for sins." I want to stop the reading right here. My attention, the theme of this message is the importance of church attendance. And I would like us to just bow our heads a moment. I want to lift a prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we are in your presence, that your presence is here with us. And Father, we pray as you put this word before us, that our hearts would be open, Lord. Our hearts would receive what you have for us because you care so very much about your children. Lord, anoint these lips of clay. Let me speak as the oracle of God, Lord, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that your word may have an effect and bring fruit. It may bless and encourage and strengthen each one of us. And to him be all the glory and honor now and forever. Amen. Praise God. In the 17th century, there was a man by the name of Francois Fenelon, was the court preacher for King Louis XIV of France. And one Sunday when the king and his attendants arrived at the chapel for the regular service, no one was there but the preacher. King Louis asked the preacher, "What does this mean?" The preacher replied, "I spread the word that you would not be attending church today in order that your majesty might see who serves God in truth and who is just here to flatter the king." The problem in the 17th century is a problem today. And I know this message may make people feel guilty. And some may be thinking, "Brother Ron, I can't believe you're going there." And I'm not. The Holy Ghost is dragging me there. What's the real reason we're here right now? We could kind of take a moment, think about what are the reasons. Are you here because of obligation? You have a certain job or position in the church, and you feel obligated to be here? Well, mom and dad are going to be wondering, "Where am I? So I better show up, keep them off my back." Are you here out of habit? It's our habit, so we do on Sunday morning. Are you here to be seen, as we read in this little story? Are you here because of what the church can offer you? There's a consumer mindset today in the Christian church at large, to me. What personal benefits do I get? Not what can I do for the church. In this church and in every church, I believe there are different groups of people. The CEO Christians, you've probably heard of that, Christmas and Easter only. Then there's a Sunday morning crowd, and they call them the SMO, Sunday morning only. There are those who are somewhat active, as long as there's nothing going on in their life, they'll be here. Then there are the faithful few that you can count on them. They're going to be here every service. You know where they sit, dedicated. Then there are those who are in transition, whose attendance maybe starts slipping, deciding if they're going to stay in the church or go somewhere else or do something else. And you see, it comes from an unbiblical view of the church membership. I'll be faithful as long as they play the music I like or the instruments I like. I'll be faithful as long as whatever. They use the preferred translation of the Bible. Or they offer the kind of ministries that my children will like. I've heard some people say, you know, well, what, you know, looking for churches and what kind of ministries do you have? The church has become a social place. It is a social place, but that becomes the primary purpose. A social place. After all, I'm a charter member and I have a right to have what I want from the church. You see, there was a writer, Tom Rainer. I've read a few of his books. He says, for too many people, church membership is about receiving instead of giving, rights instead of responsibilities, and entitlements instead of sacrifices. He goes on to say, you must understand that as a Christian, God has placed you in the local church in order to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, and to give. It's time for the body of believers to reject it's all about me and recognize it's all about Him. Praise the Lord. We're here to bless Him this morning. Amen. We're here to worship Him. It's not about us. You see, attendance is not enough. It's not enough. We talk about attendance, and I've read this scripture many times before, and people maybe are tired of hearing about it, but we're going to go into it a little deeper this morning because it's more than about attendance. God is not looking for people to simply attend church, but He expects His people to be the church. You understand? To be the church. Not just to attend. I show up. No, to be the church and all that that means. Maybe church isn't the priority it should be in your life. Maybe the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and maybe you don't like hearing that. I'm sorry that I can't apologize for the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew writer said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God's warning His people not to abandon gathering together with other believers. Church should be a priority for you and for me. Praise God. What are the hindrances that we find? Let's be honest. We're going to talk real talk today. What are the hindrances? Children's events. There's baseball, basketball, band, cheerleading, soccer, academic events, hockey. These are not bad things. And good parents should be involved in their children's lives. And I know scheduling is difficult because the world outside doesn't recognize Sunday as a special day, or our church attendance is very important. It's kind of, well, if you can make it, fine. If you can't, too bad. We gotta practice. We got a schedule to maintain. And I don't know if parents, if maybe you have tried to push back a little bit to the coaches and the league and say, you know what? It's important that my kid be in church on Sunday, or my kid be in church on Wednesday. Can we do anything about it? You say, well, Brother Ron, I'm a voice in the wilderness. Well, so be it. But speak the truth. Then there's recreational activities. And you know all those. I'm not going to go into a list of those. And then there's work. Work is commanded. But sometimes it serves as an excuse not to attend church. Get home late Wednesday, I'm tired. Hard to get out. The kids are fussing. It's hard to get out. And sometimes just plain laziness. If I could be so bold. Lord, would you help us this morning? It needs to be a priority. Why? Because we say it? No, because of what the Word of God says about it, the importance of it. If we pull it together, if we start to look at church attendance, what's all involved? What is God saying to us this morning? What is He talking about? It's a partnership. He uses the word together, assembling of yourselves together. It's a partnership between brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In Ephesians, he writes, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God intends for us to edify or build up one another. That's the purpose when we come together. That's why it's ordered in the Word of God. What do? We come together to edify one another. You're born again. God gave you gifts. Not just, look at the 9 gifts in Corinthians, but there's more gifts than that. We did it. We studied that in the Bible study some years back. And there's helps, there's ministries, there's governments, there's giving. They're all gifts. I think we listed about 19 altogether. He says when he ascended, he gave men gifts. Our gifts are to be used how? To edify the body of Christ. To build it up. Don't you think we need to be built up today more than ever? Don't you think we need encouragement today? Yeah. More than ever, praise God. I'm the man I am today because my parents took me to church every service. In days gone by, we had 4 services. Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. It was important. I didn't have any doubts. I knew it was important because mom and dad made no quarrels about it. We're going to church. You got homework. We're going to church. You couldn't play on a team if they had a game on Wednesday night. God help us. You say that today and start throwing tomatoes at you. What? You can't what? That's how it was. I said we're talking straight talk this morning. How can we be edified in the Sunday school? I want to expand this. Attendance is not just the services, but it's every time we gather together. Bible class, Sunday school, church attendance, prayer meetings, everything. It applies to everything. You see, we have teachers that prepare all week to bring forth the gospel and to teach us. It's a privilege to be able to participate in that. And they prepare, and you say, well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, what did you put into it? What was your, did you come prepared? Did you read the scripture? Did you meditate on what was said last week? Did you anticipate what was going to be talked about this coming Sunday? Christian fellowship. You know, it's today, as I mentioned earlier, it's become kind of, it fills out a social part of your life in the general Christian church. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as the main purpose is not minimized. And it's equipping us with the gospel so we can win the lost, that we can walk the walk and live the life. But it's good when we can be together. We should enjoy each other's company and want to be together. Amen? If we're going to be together up there, we got to be together down here. Praise God. How's it going to work? Well, you know, so-and-so is going to be there and he and I don't see eye to eye. Well, brother, you got something to straighten out. You got something to get right before the Lord. You're going to take the Holy Supper and you're going to have those thoughts in your mind? How does that work? It doesn't. Prayer, a vital part of any church. Prayer is the engine. Personal prayer, corporate prayer, prayer meeting, it's the engine that drives the church. It's a communion with the Lord. It's that contact with Him. It's our lifeline to Him. It's our speaking with Him. It's our relationship with Him. I'd like to see more of you attend the prayer meetings. I want to invite you before the services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. We gather in the back to pray. Why don't you come and pray with us? Some of you can come. Well, we have our routine and our tradition, Brother Ron. I pray at home. Good for you. Why don't you join with the body of Christ, that those that are here, and just consent to the prayer. You don't have to pray out. Just consent to the prayer and say, Lord, I want to see God work tonight. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall. Praise God. And the preaching. You need to hear preaching regularly. Well, I can read the Bible. Sure you can. But the Holy Ghost takes the Word of God under the anointing and brings it right to what you need and what I need. There are many times the Word of God, I remember growing up, I'd come in and Brother Lewis was a pastor at that time, and the anointing was sometimes was so powerful on him. I had Holy Ghost chill bumps all over me, and I was praising God, oh Lord, thank you. You know, there are many things as a pastor in my responsibilities. It's just not to visit the sick and perform weddings and officiate funerals and do administrative work and counsel church members and even to teach, reach the lost. That's not my primary. According to the Word of God, it's equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And how can I do that? How can we do it if you're not here? How? Tell me. It's a partnership. In the Word of God, in Corinthians, Paul talks about the body. He uses the analogy of the body. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? And he goes on. The body edifies itself in love. How can you do that if you're not here? Tell me, how can you do that? Your gifts, your presence is an encouragement. You may not say a word. You may just be worshiping quietly. Or you may be standing up and worshiping, but you edify the body of Christ. If you don't show up, let's take the analogy of the body. If the hand is not going to work today, I'm not here, so I can't do it, and the knee tries to do the work of the hand, it's not going to work. So you are hindering the body of Christ when you don't show up. Those are strong words. Well, I believe that's what the Word of God is saying. You're not at the prayer meeting. You're hindering the body of Christ. Because we got to come together in one mind and one accord. Lord, would you work in our midst? This is not just an organization to sustain for perpetuity. This is the work of God. This is the preaching of the gospel. This is the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we need God to work through us, praise God. Not just casual, I attend, I go to that church. No, he wants us to be the church. And all that entails, praise God. So the Holy Spirit expects you to partner with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Rejoice with them that rejoice, mourn with them that mourn. Hold them up in prayer, encourage them. Exhorting one another daily. That word exhorting means encouraging with consolation, to comfort, exhorting, encouraging one another daily. Don't we need encouragement today? We need to help each other go through this life. And that's what the body of Christ does. Let me use the analogy of a sports event, a sports activity. Take basketball. When the team's having a rough time, what do you see the team doing on the sidelines? And when they have a foul shot, they're encouraging that young man or young woman, whoever it is. It's the last period in a basketball game, and you're down 1 point, and you got two foul shots to hit. And you miss the first one. What do you do? Like Charles Barkley said, you knucklehead, why'd you miss that shot? No, they say, come on, you can do it. I got faith in you. I know you can make it. Just relax. Encourage one another. That's why we come together. We encourage one another. Your presence encourages us. When we see you here, I breathe, I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And when you're not here after the service, I go home and I think about who wasn't here tonight or today or tomorrow or Wednesday. Where were they? Lord, I'm concerned. Lord, I'm praying for them. Lord, would you wake them up? Now, I want to just say a moment. I understand there's situations that come in the way. We have some that are infirm, some that are elderly. Some live so far, it's hard to come at times. I understand all that. That's not what the Word of God's talking about here. It's talking about a routine behavior. And those that are able, praise the Lord. He says, after the manner of some is. So it was noticed. It was noticed they were missing the services. After the manner of some is. And you with children and grandchildren, what are you going to say to your grandchildren and your children? I didn't make it tonight. There was, after all, the Super Bowl's on tonight and only comes once a year. Or maybe you just didn't feel like it. You're an example. You're a testimony. How are you going to invite someone to church if you're not there? You invite them to church and you only go on Sunday morning and they show up Sunday night. Well, where's Sister So-and-so? She's not here tonight. Straight talk. You miss church because of aches and pains. But tomorrow, you're at Walmart, you go to work with the same aches and pains. Well, that's different. Is it? Is it? You don't know, but we come on this pulpit hurting sometimes. And we're not lifting ourselves up. I don't say it for that reason. But it's, God, give us grace. Give us strength. And there's some times we're so sick we should stay home. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But, I'm feeling a little pain in my leg. I think I better not get out tonight and just rest and let it heal up. Why don't you come and get prayed for? And trust the Lord and say, Lord, would you heal my leg? Our founding pastor, Brother Arlini, used to say church attendance was the spiritual barometer of the soul. And he was so right. It is a spiritual barometer. And I'm not just talking about people that warm a pew. They could be there three times everywhere, every service, and not contribute, not be involved, just be sitting and warming a pew. I'm not talking about that. Oh, Lord, would you help us? There's protection involved. He says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see what's going on around us? Do you see it? Israel is being attacked by everyone. The United States is turning its back on Israel. I'm not going to get political here. That's not the issue. But this is what the Word of God says. In the end times, this is what's going to happen. Everybody's going to desert Israel. Many other signs that we see. Everything that's going on, the Holy Spirit is saying, red light, look, it's going on. Be careful. How do we battle against the enemy? He's determined to destroy your soul and my soul, to silence this church, to wipe us off the face of the earth. Encourage one another. Brother, come on, don't slow down. We need you. The Lord needs you. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants to work in your soul. Praise God. He wants to use you for the kingdom. Brother Ron, I got situations in my family. I can't extricate myself. Just pray. Maybe you need to talk to one of us and say, brother, quietly, silently, confidentially, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my family, Lord? I want to draw closer. I want to be in the service more, but I'm hindered in situations I don't want to go into. That's all right. We'll pray. We'll trust God. We'll believe God. Praise the Lord. He'll make a way where there is no way. We sing those songs. Do we believe him? Well, we do. Praise God. He is able. The Lord, the Word of God gives us countless warnings of the danger. We got kids living in this time and situation that is unparalleled in our history, in human history, far as I know. The attack on the family is satanic in every way. Abortion. We can't kill them. We'll twist their minds and have them be, transgender or whatever. We'll confuse them. Here's some of these people on television and movie stars saying, my kid, 3 years old, he knows he's not a boy. How does he know that? You mean for 150 years, we had no trouble understanding, I'm a boy. You're a girl, and now we got confusion? It's the work of Satan. Confuse the mind. The Word of God says in the end, he'll give them up to their ideas. In Romans, it talks about it. Reprobate mind. That's the word I was looking for. Reprobate. Don't know right from wrong, evil from good anymore. Reprobate mind. And everyone's preaching tolerance. We got to be tolerant. We got to be loving. We got to pray for them. We got to not back down. There is one absolute truth, and it's here in the Word of God. And that's what we live by. Praise God. I will pray for you, brother. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. Because the God of this world is trying to do everything he can to bring everyone with him that he can. And church attendance is tied to participation. We need workers. We need workers. There's an anecdote I came across. I don't normally read these, but I thought this was pertinent. The story goes, I know that you all were saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our church's most valuable members, someone else. Someone's passing has created a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Else has been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone else did far more than the normal person's share of the work. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's lips. Let someone else do it. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the largest givers of the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone assumed someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman, but a person can only do so much. Were the truth known, everyone expected too much of someone else. Now someone else is gone. We wonder, what are we going to do? Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who is going to follow it? Who is going to do the thing someone else did? Remember, we can't depend on someone else anymore. You know, it's the old 80-20 rule you hear about in every organization. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Lord, help us. Help us this morning. You know, you'll not find people who are truly faithful to the work of the church who are not faithful in their attendance. Look at the example. Look at the example. Are they true to the attendance in church, the various activities? Are they there? How are they faring spiritually? How are they doing it? What's the condition of their family? How's it going? It's a spiritual barometer. One pastor talked about, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, brother, I need to get back to church. And he says, no, that's not it. You need to get your relationship right with the Lord. Amen. That's the issue. Amen. When the relationship is right with the Lord, you can't keep them away. They want to be in church. Well, I don't like the way so-and-so preaches. Brother Ron's too hard-nosed, whatever. Well, pray for him. Pray for him. He needs your prayers. What's he trying to do? Certainly not making you happy, that's for sure. But he's trying to make you holy. Trying to bring you to, trying to equip you for the ministry of the work of God in whatever capacity. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, if anything, there ought to be a rallying together and the church attendance ought to grow. If we see the signs, if we have an inkling, if we believe what is going forward, what the Word of God tells us so clearly. And there's many sources on social media that talk about these things. This happened, this happened, this is happening. This is predicted in this book, this is predicted in that book. It's all coming to pass. But here we are. The fire alarm went off, and we're strolling down the hall. Fire, fire, fire. Oh, Lord, help us. And then he ties. You see, I've always been hesitant to tie the 26th verse. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Willfully. Missing the services. I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. Oh, so-and-so is preaching tonight, and I'm not going. Word of God is telling me, it's calling it willful sinning. No amens, that's okay. I didn't expect any amens this morning. You can be upset with me. That's okay. I can take it. I'm used to it. Be honest with you. But I pray the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us we're living in dangerous times. We're living in the last times. The trumpet's going to sound soon. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I wish I could scare you, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to tell you, this is what the Word of God says. My responsibility is to tell you. If you don't tell the people their sin, their blood is going to be on your hands. That's what it says in the Old Testament. But if you tell them your sins, their sins, you're covered. I don't want to see you lose out. Do you understand the motivation? You got one chance going through this life. Many opportunities, but one life, that's it. When you close your eyes, it's over. Grandma isn't going to pray you out. You're not going to bargain with the Lord. The book is closed. It's all written down. He's going to remind you, you had this opportunity. You heard this message. You heard that message. The brother talked to you. They prayed for you. They helped you. The harvest is past and we're not saved. Oh God, I don't want to hear those words. And I want to conclude. Brother, sister, would you come forward? Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Have you always been glad when they said, let's go to church tonight? I haven't. True confession. Been times I've been so discouraged, I said, you know, I wish it would snow. I'll be honest, I'm not proud of that. But I've said it. That's where my faith had sunk to. Oh God, what are you saying to us this morning? What are you saying to us this morning? It's not just sitting in the pew, but it's being the church. Praise God. Having that relationship with Jesus Christ. That we want to be together. We want to edify one another. We want to bless each other. We want to encourage each other. Praise God. There's so much to be accomplished. So many that God wants to save. And he wants to use who? The angels? No, you and me. But if we're not here, and what do we do when we're home? We've got a nice, easy couch, a recliner, trying to find something to watch on television. There are many times that I can recall we're raising the kids. And each one of them was a stinker in their own right, you know. They all had their moments. And we used to come and sit in the back two benches at the old church. And one time Matt was acting up, and I grabbed him. Obviously, he was a little kid then. I grabbed him. I went around the bench, the back corner. He stuck his arm out and grabbed a hold of the bench and almost brought me down. And I was there smiling, but I wanted to choke him. You know, I was there. God, help me. God, help me right now. Please, Lord. And we used to come home at some nights and say, you know, why did we go to church tonight? Why? Because they're all three sitting in church today. And their families. And it's not perfect, but God is working. And we did the best we could. And God is going to honor that. It may take a little time, but God is going to honor that. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. Oh, Lord, would you restore that in us? Would you restore that in us? Praise God. It's so beautiful when we come together and the Holy Spirit begins to move in the hearts. You can feel it, the presence of the Lord. Everyone's in tune and the hindrances are kind of moved out of the way and the Spirit begins to work. Oh my God. How wonderful that is. We need more of that, amen? Help us, Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Do we have a song, sisters?